Okay, we're here at the What If section of Made Bike Show. Who are we?
Chris D'Elia with Benchmark Tooling.
All right, so we're talking about frame fixtures, and we both have been working on frame fixtures for a while, which is really cool. Where are you now with your project, and what are you trying? What are you appreciating most about it? Almost,
I think we're appreciating the opportunity to help people enter the space because I think that there's a lot of people who have been building bikes for many years, and they have established tooling and techniques and practices, but the opportunity is in finding people who are interested in building their first frame and making something that's approachable at their skill level and the price point that they want to enter the space at.
Okay.
And Made is an opportunity to find people who are excited about
bikes. So you're connecting with them, and where are you in the price point of the frame fixture ecosystem? It's like, I make a frame fixture, it's not for sale. You make a frame fixture that is, and there's several other people that make frame fixtures for sale.
Yes.
Where do you think you lie in that?
Well, we're trying to be at that entry point like I was talking about. So our base fixture is $2,350 right now. We're offering a promo at the show, and I think that is the bridge that, you know, people can see to entering into the market when their fixture costs less than a typical custom frame. You know, they can think about buying the fixture and some of the tools and you know, enjoying the opportunity to build a handmade bike.
Sure. So you've refined your design over the years. Is this your base one or is this your pro one?
This is our base one. We actually don't have the pro one at the show this year.
Okay.
Because there's just so much more interest in the 1.1. And so we started out with the Benchmark 1, and then this is now the Benchmark 1.1, which we've been building this series for 12 years, actually.
What I love about it is it's got the bearings for rolling things and makes it...
Thank you.
So it doesn't... Rack is the name, right?
Rack like a lot of other fixtures do. It's simple and easy to adjust. We say this is like a plus or minus millimeter kind of tool, right? It's not the most precise like our pro, but it does everything that a lot of guys need to do, and it can support them growing from maybe a hobbyist into maybe building fixtures building frames for some of their friends or other people, even professionally.
And what's nice also about this is, like, as we know, it's got an offset seat tube adjustment there, which means that even though this is a base model and it's your kind of entry into all this, you can build a very modern bike with it.
Yeah.
It's not limited like other, say, fixtures are.
I think it's compatible with the Anvil axle standard. We're shipping it with BSA and T47 pucks. We have the setback seat post adapter, like you said. All of our fixtures come standard with argon purge for the head tube and for the seat tube. So yeah, modern interfaces.
Is there no argon on the crank shell?
There is not on the prosumer model. We do have it on our pro model.
Is this something you could add if you had one of these?
We could work on that. What we are telling people now is...
Or like they could do it at their house. They could figure it out.
Yeah, you could modify like this outer shell.
Which sure, I guess you have
doing.
That there.
Yeah. But if you actually drill your bottom bracket and you'll get purge from the seat mass all the way down.
Sure, and it's heavy.
It settles in there. And that's what we figure.
And does it come with one head tube puck system or what?
So we're actually using a conical contact point on the bottom of the prosumer model.
Ooh.
And we use instruction to align the pivot point with a reference here on the fixture. And so you adjust your lower puck just based on your head tube diameter. And that gets you in line with the concentric pivot for your effective reach and stack.
Sure,
that's a more economical way to do it. We also have oversized cones for larger head tubes. And then on the pro model, we use a traditional puck system where this is a fixed point.
And are you using 8020 or Bosch, or what system profile are you using?
We're using 8020. We use the 1530 on the back plane and the 1515 on the head tube and seat tube.
So effectively, any 8020 could jump into this, and someone could hack into it and make it do what they want it to do.
Yes. So you can talk to us, or you could on your own extend both the backplane extrusions in order to build like a larger frame, for example. Like if you wanted to build 36ers, maybe you need more chainstay length. Most commonly, we're finding, you know, people want a little bit more ability to adjust the stack. And so they would want to extend that extrusion, which we have done for folks. You can look on our website or follow the QR code on the frame fixture to get a full description of how big of a frame you can build with each fixture stock.
Okay, so you guys, I think when you started this project, you were fresh out of engineering school or
yes,
and all that. And it's been a while. How long have you been doing it?
So Steve and I met at Cal Poly when we were doing our bachelor's degrees. And then when we graduated, we started this project around 2015. And we've been doing it ever since then while also running full-time engineering, consulting, and contracting companies.
You know, I have to share a story where I had a dramatic situation selling a frame fixture of mine. And you guys contacted me saying that you'd like to help me out and everything, and I really appreciated that. Yeah. You just didn't know that I had some other the reason I was selling it was to raise funds for a different project. But yeah. I thought that was really a nice thing that you did that.
Yeah, I remember talking to you about that. We almost got bit by the same the same bad flare.
Right. Yeah, that's a nightmare. It's like that continues. I got an email last week. Me putting that information online has saved a lot of people and also caused a lot of people to organize. So I would say when you spot creeps, point them out.
Yeah, I appreciated that conversation many years ago.
Oh, did I mention it and then that saved you after the fact?
I'm trying to remember the context of it. Yeah, I think we had, you know, we always have some people that are looking to get a foothold, you know, and maybe want some creative financing or, you know, some understanding. And unfortunately, you know, as a passion project for us, you know, this isn't necessarily driving our primary source of revenue or income, you know, but we certainly don't want to lose money.
Right.
So we have to be careful.
Especially not if it's stolen.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And I
think you started this as a very green engineer, but you were at a good school, and also you probably had your head screwed on fairly straight. But the thing is, it's like, what do you think you've learned over the years about engineering, maybe informed by your professional work, but then also informed by this? How have you grown, I don't know, just around this stuff, you know?
That's a great question. Well, I started building these fixtures with Steve in my dad's garage. And he had previously a fabrication business for automotive, you know, hot rods and things. And we were water jetting all the blanks for the plates, and we were hand drilling and tapping all the holes, and we had to cut chamfers on all the plates, and so we actually chamfered them on a router table, you know, manually every single plate, and that's how we built the first handful of fixtures. And some people probably have those. We talk to them at the show. They come in, oh, I'm building bikes on your fixture. Oh, is it a black one or a blue one?
Okay.
And is it got laser marking or not laser marking? Right. You know, so we can try to figure out how old it is. But we've come so far since then. Now, between our shops, we have 11 CNC milling machines and turning centers.
But those aren't being paid for by the bike industry.
Unfortunately not. I wish that they were. But we are using them to manufacture all of our plate work. So we've come so far in terms of the precision and the efficiency that we can make the plates. So we do start with extrusions for some of our plate work now, but we generally start with water jet cut blanks. But instead of, you know, drilling and tapping them by hand, we're putting them on tooling plates with locating features, and we're fully machining all the surfaces around the perimeter of the plates. We're drilling all the holes precisely, tapping them in machines. So we're just building a way better tool. Aligning it on surface plates.
You know, I love that. It's like, you know, I was doing some oddball stuff at the start, and now I'm like, you know, I'm able to have stuff machined on 5-axis machines, and it's like, oh my gosh, the fact that I can count on this as being perpendicular, and that's going to be exactly where I placed it in a 3D space without really fussing, and I get impossible to otherwise cut chamfers, you know, or something you know, and it's just the simple things that really just make things pop. And you know, I've been appreciating it myself, even at my onesie level type thing. And you've got little setup QR codes that help you out and everything. It's a really dialed product, and I think sometimes you can spot that a project's going well. Well, there's two paths that if you look at it years later, and it's basically what it was when it started, just everywhere you look, there's tiny little things that are different. I think that shows a lot that the fundamental engineering was good, and it's improved.
Yeah, thank you. I appreciate hearing that. And we didn't invent the frame fixture, and there's lots of frame fixtures before us, and there were fantastic examples on how to describe the geometry. Particularly Don Ferris's anvil fixture is very informative and in terms of understanding and improving the.
Sure, but experience. If you want to talk about racking.
Yeah, I think we've tried to improve upon those things and democratize them, reducing the price and trying to open it up to more builders, reducing the racking with the bearings, moving to extrusions away from all the fully CNC machine plate work. Whereas we still do that on our Pro fixture, but it costs a lot more.
And yeah, I don't believe in plates unless they're made of steel and ground.
Yeah.
What else is going on in your world? Like, say, this is something you do as a passion project, and it's fun, but you have a regular day job. What do you work on your day job?
So I own another company called Level Engineering, which is a contract manufacturing and contract engineering company. We build a lot of advanced sensor systems, particularly in the agricultural space. So we build...
For on drone or on combines or what?
Actually, both. So we work on a couple sensor systems that are for UAVs, particularly multispectral camera systems for surveying agricultural products. We also build a lot of advanced soil sensor systems for surveying fields directly.
Are you making sensors or integrating them into systems?
We do both. We do a lot of transducer work. My background in engineering is largely related to strain gauges and strain measurement. And so I've done quite a few transducer projects for people where we're really building and engineering transducers. And then we also integrate a lot of off-the-shelf sensing products.
That's really great. I think you probably have the dream that I would like to have about owning a real company that you do cool stuff at and then having a passion project where you do cool stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Thank you. Yeah, when we get to keep the machines busy sometimes making bike parts. We get to come to the show and meet our customers, and it's really satisfying.
Is there anything in the bike space that you've wanted to do or kind of maybe associated with this, or a whole different part of the bike space where you've seen an opportunity or thought maybe you could use your tools for that?
Well, certainly with Paragon exiting the market space recently, we've thought a lot about building small parts. But I think with Firsthand picking that up and collaboration with Chris King, I think they're going to do a really good job supporting the industry. Those parts, I think, they're similar to ones we make for other industries. But I think in the volumes and the materials, it's very competitive. We've been interested, in that over the years, and we've definitely collaborated with some really smart designers who have been interested in dropouts, but we haven't really ever pursued it.
Well, one of the next things, I'm taking a little bit of a break from bicycles on my stuff right now, but one of the next things I improve on my frame fixture is going to be my my dummy axle system, in that I'm kind of over the anvil system.
Okay.
And I want to move to an improved system, and I think that it would be nice for us to make that big leap there, and I don't know. I'll show that if you wanted to get involved.
Yeah, we'd love to.
There's so much space there, and it's like if you've looked at my work with the SRAM full mount type dummy axles, it extends on that I don't think the anvil system does well, and then just getting rid of that center step. I think there was a system, who was it, the guy in New England that did it, or maybe Buckles, but just a snap ring based system with a full shaft, I think is probably a better way to go. Maybe not snap ring, but something akin to that.
More economical to machine or manufacture.
Well, but also that doesn't maybe bend, maybe doesn't force a way of holding that is, let's say, not very well kinematically constrained,
Yeah.
Because the anvil system is ambiguous, or what's the right term for it? within kinematic constraints? Is it ambiguous, or is it over-defined or under-defined? Forget what it is. Anyway.
Well, the one thing I think is there's not a lot to really help people maintain the clocking of their dropouts,
sure.
You know, and so particularly if you're trying to build the same frame over and over again, there's nothing that controls that rotational degree of freedom, but maybe you're over-constrained in some of the other controls.
Well, certainly in terms of rotation, once you ship the 3D printing, you just don't even worry about it anymore.
Yeah.
That's all done. Cool. Thank you so much for talking to me. I appreciate
it. Fantastic, Peter.
All right.
Nice to connect again.
Okay. Bye.
Yeah. That was fun. Thank